Saturday, March 29th. The lesson from Daniel chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, 15 through 17, 19 through 30, and 33 through 62. In those days in Babylon there lived a man named Joachim, who married a very beautiful and God-fearing woman, Susanna, the daughter of Helciah. Her pious parents had trained their daughter according to the law of Moses. Joachim was very rich. He had a garden near his house, and the Jews had recourse to him often because he was the most respected of them all. That year, two elders of the people were appointed judges, of whom the Lord said, "Wickedness had come out of Babylon from the elders who were to govern the people as judges." These men, to whom all brought their cases, frequented the house of Joachim. When the people left at noon, Susanna used to enter her husband's garden for a walk. When the old men saw her enter every day for her walk, they began to lust for her. They suppressed their consciences, they would not allow their eyes to look to heaven, and did not keep in mind just judgments. One day, while they were waiting for the right moment, she entered the garden as usual with two maids only. She decided to bathe, for the weather was warm. Nobody else was there except the two elders, who had hidden themselves and were watching her. "Bring me oil and soap," she said to the maids, "and shut the garden doors while I bathe." As soon as the maids had left, the two old men got up and hurried to her. "Look," they said, "the garden doors are shut, and no one can see us. Give in to our desire and lie with us. If you refuse, we will testify against you that you dismissed your maids because a young man was here with you." "I am completely trapped," Susanna groaned. "If I yield, it will be my death. If I refuse, I cannot escape your power. Yet it is better for me to fall into your power without guilt than to sin before the Lord." Then Susanna shrieked, and the old men also shouted at her, as one of them ran to open the garden doors. When the people in the house heard the cries from the garden, they rushed in by the side gate to see what had happened to her. At the accusations by the old men, the servants felt very much ashamed, for never had any such thing been said about Susanna. When the people came to her husband Joachim the next day, the two wicked elders also came, fully determined to put Susanna to death. Before all the people, they ordered, "Send for Susanna, the daughter of Helciah, the wife of Joachim." When she was sent for, she came with her parents, children, and all her relatives. All her relatives and the onlookers were weeping. In the midst of the people, two elders rose up and laid their hands on her head. Through her tears, she looked up to heaven, for she trusted in the Lord wholeheartedly. The elders made this accusation: "As we were walking in the garden alone, this woman entered with two girls and shut the doors of the garden, dismissing the girls. A young man who was hidden there came and lay with her. When we, in a corner of the garden, saw this crime, we ran toward them. We saw them lying together, but the man we could not hold because he was stronger than we. He opened the doors and ran off. Then we seized this one and asked who the young man was, but she refused to tell us. We testify to this." The assembly believed them, since they were elders and judges of the people, and they condemned her to death. But Susanna cried aloud, "O eternal God, you know what is hidden and are aware of all things before they come to be. You know that they have testified falsely against me. Here I am about to die, though I have done none of the things with which these wicked men have charged me." The Lord heard her prayer. As she was being led to execution, God stirred up the Holy Spirit of a young boy named Daniel, and he cried aloud, "I will have no part in the death of this woman." All the people turned and asked him, "What is this you are saying?" He stood in their midst and continued, "Are you such fools, O Israelites, to condemn a woman of Israel without examination and without clear evidence? Return to court, for they have testified falsely against her." Then all the people returned in haste, and Daniel said to them, "Separate these two men from one another that I may examine them." After they were separated one from the other, he called one of them and said, "How you have grown evil with age! Now have your past sins come to term, passing unjust sentences, condemning the innocent and freeing the guilty, although the Lord says, 'The innocent and the just you shall not put to death.' Now then, if you were a witness, tell me under what tree you saw them together." "Under a mastic tree." And Daniel said, "Well have you lied against your own head, for the angel of God, having received the sentence from him, shall split you in two." Putting him to one side, he ordered the other one to be brought. And Daniel said to him, "O offspring of Canaan, not of Judah, beauty has seduced you, lust has subverted your conscience. This is how you acted with the daughters of Israel, and in fear they yielded to you. But a daughter of Judah did not tolerate your wickedness. Now then, tell me under what tree you surprised them together." "Under an oak," he said. "Your fine lie has cost you also your head," said Daniel, "for the angel of God waits with a sword to cut you in two, so as to make an end of you both." The whole assembly cried aloud, blessing God who saves those that hope in him. They rose up against the two elders, for by their own words Daniel had convicted them of perjury. They inflicted on them the penalty they had plotted to impose on their neighbor. They put them to death. Thus was innocent blood spared that day. Haydock Commentary. Daniel was about 12 years old. God enabled him to declare that Susanna was innocent. The people had consented to her death, but he stands up in her defense. They had taken no precautions to ascertain the truth, which they ought to have done the more, as Susanna had always been highly esteemed. Being cut in two as a punishment was not unusual, yet it is probable that the two old men were stoned to death by the law of retaliation. See Exodus 19:4. By this first prophetical act, Daniel acquired fame, which he retained till the death of Darius. The Gospel from John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. At that time, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and at daybreak he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and sitting down he began to teach them. Now the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and setting her in the midst, said to him, "Master, this woman has just now been caught in adultery, and in the law Moses commanded us to stone such persons. What therefore do you say?" Now they were saying this to test him, in order that they might be able to accuse him. But Jesus, stooping down, began to write with his finger on the ground. But when they continued asking him, he raised himself and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to cast a stone at her." And again stooping down, he began to write on the ground. But hearing this, they went away one by one, beginning with the eldest. And Jesus remained alone with the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus, raising himself, said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." Then Jesus said, "Neither will I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, sin no more." Haydock Commentary. The last verse of the previous chapter, and the 11 verses that follow in this, are not found in the greater part of our present Greek copies, yet they are in some manuscripts. We read nothing of them in the commentaries of St. John Chrysostom or St. Cyril, but St. Jerome says they were found in many both Latin and Greek copies. St. Ambrose says this passage of the woman taken in adultery was always famous in the church. St. Augustine expounds on them as well. Regarding Christ writing on the ground with his finger, St. Augustine says, "You have heard, O Jews, you have heard, O Pharisees, you have heard, O teachers of the law, the guardian of the law, but have not yet understood him as the lawgiver. What else does he signify to you when he writes with his finger on the ground? For the law was written with the finger of God, but written on stone because of the hard-hearted. The Lord now wrote on the ground because he was seeking fruit. You have heard then, let the law be fulfilled, let the adulteress be stoned. But is it by punishing her that the law is to be fulfilled by those that ought to be punished? Let each of you consider himself, let him enter into himself, ascend the judgment seat of his own mind, place himself at the bar of his own conscience, oblige himself to confess. Each looking carefully into himself finds himself a sinner. Hence either let this woman go, or together with her receive ye the penalty of the law." St. Cyril says, "We cannot with any propriety reprehend or condemn faults in others if we ourselves be guilty of the same or other great faults. The people left one by one, confounded and convicted by their own consciences." Hence we may see how impious is the doctrine of those who say that God is the author of sin. Christ did not say to the woman, "I do not condemn thy sin," or, "Go and live now as thou pleasest, I will free thee from all punishment due to any sin thou shalt commit." But he only said, "Go and from henceforth sin no more," thus preserving his amiable virtue of clemency and still not encouraging vice. So says St. Augustine.